And right now it's time to say good morning to Annette. And we're talking in our nutrition chat today, talking about cholesterol. Annette, good morning.
Good morning, Wayne.
And getting straight into it, cholesterol, you get the good, you get the bad, and various ways of handling it. Tell us all about it, because it's actually rather complicated, or it seems, from a layperson's point of view.
Yes, so indeed, you get the good, the bad, and then it can make it all around, I think, quite ugly. we've spoken about cholesterol quite a bit, but this is the questions you always get about. And there's so many things in the media when it comes to what's good fats, what's bad fats, what am I allowed, am I not allowed. But just to go back to basics, if we think about blood cholesterol, so if you go for your lipogram, you will have a total cholesterol and you will have an HDL, which is the good cholesterol, and you will have an LDL, which is the bad cholesterol. So in general, physicians would want your total cholesterol to be obviously within the recommendation, but then also the ratio between HDL and LDL, in other words, the good and the bad, is equally important within this total cholesterol structure. So if we think what really increases the bad cholesterol, and that's mainly saturated fat, that causes then like a little plaque layer, which is a buildup inside your artery wall. Mm-hmm. And then obviously all of this restricts blood flow. And over a long period of time, it can increase your risk for heart attack and stroke. So that's in a nutshell sort of why it is important that we make sure that our cholesterol levels are really at the right point. So for saturated fat, that increases the LDL. This mainly comes from animal product. So unfortunately, we can't really saturated fat is saturated fat, and it comes from animal product. It's not something that you can really argue about. Mm. So mainly the white fat on meat, skin of the chicken, egg yolk, cream, butter, cheese, any high fat. Dairy derivative or obviously animal fat will be saturated, and we generally can recognize it. If you think about room temperature, it will be solid at room temperature.
Okay,
so that's
right,
for instance right. why butter will be solid if it is cold, and it becomes liquid when it is warmer. And the same with animal fat, it's solid at room temperature. So that basically is your saturated fat. So people should try and really, really look into the amount of saturated fat. And if we look at the total percentage that we are allowed a day within your total fat, we actually want this to be less than 5%, which is very difficult. I'm not going to lie. It's very little fat if you have to think about 5% of your total fat amount that you're allowed to take in to reduce your saturated fat intake. And then this has got a direct impact on the level of your LDL and your total cholesterol. Mm. Then how do we really increase the HDL, which is the better cholesterol? So your focus go to the opposite, which will be your monounsaturated fatty acids, more like your plant-based type of fats. If I can link it back to the Mediterranean diet, we're thinking olive oil, olives, peanut butter, grape seed oil, nuts like macadamia nuts. So fat sources, that's really avocado pear, that's really, really good in monounsaturated fatty acids. So if we can get it right to consume the fat that we consume on a daily basis, if the majority of that comes from monounsaturated fatty acids, our chances will be better to increase the HDL and decrease the LDL content. And also then obviously assisting in your total cholesterol level. And then in conjunction with that, a lot of fiber. So we have to have a diet high in fiber. So with your focus going to complex carbohydrates, so we would focus on whole grains like brown rice, rye bread, the legume family, baked beans, butter beans, lentils, speck beans, oats, apple, that sort of the fibers that you want to include into your diet, because the soluble fiber actually binds to bile, where, and then that helps the body to eliminate some of the cholesterol particles. So really, really equally important as the type of fat that you consume. And then the big thing that people don't really realize, if you think about trans fats, so that's generally when a liquid vegetable oil has got a hydrogen molecule. This generally happens fast foods, frying, processed foods. They put a lot of that, and that is really, really even worse than taking saturated fat. So having a lifestyle full of fast foods, processed foods, thinking processed meat like sausages, different type of cold meats, processed tinned meat, not a good idea at all, because this obviously saturated fat, and then the way fast food in restaurants prepare their food, unfortunately, that frying process increases the trans fat in the total trans fat that you consume, as well as commercially baked goods. I'm thinking small white refined cakes, any sort of instant sweet biscuity type cookie thing. Unfortunately, the type of fat that can be in there can also be a version of trans fat in those foods. So those are really the things that we have to keep in mind if we want to aim to reduce our cholesterol levels. And then just overall a healthy diet. So if you actually think about a very old thing, which is the food pyramid, at the bottom of that food pyramid is your whole grain carbohydrates, and then fruits, vegetables, lean meat, low-fat dairy, and right at the top of this triangle, there will be a small amount of fat. So our focus should totally be like that, and then obviously in conjunction with making sure you do some exercise, being a good weight is really helpful, obviously. Yeah, so that is in a broad bits and pieces of how you can actually, the important things to make sure that you can reduce your cholesterol levels. And then cooking methods is very important. So when you are at home, that remember, please don't eat any oil. Because every single oil has got a different burning point. Unfortunately, some of those are not as high as we think. We might buy a good oil, but by increasing the heat, unfortunately, we are, the oil has got the ability to change in character. So you can have a good oil, but you can change it into a saturated fat by the frying process, for instance. And then that will also be responsible for increase your total cholesterol levels, and especially your LDL.
So basically it boils down to what you're eating. But now, Unetsi, a question where you've got, and unfortunately I'm not sure of the exact term, but where you've got a situation where your body generates cholesterol by itself. In other words, it's not necessarily dietary related. Is there a way of controlling that apart from using medication?
So obviously, hereditary cholesterol is a difficult concept, because it literally means that our liver naturally produces cholesterol. That's also why, if we look at what your daily recommendation is for dietary cholesterol intake, it's about 300 milligrams. So it becomes very difficult if there is a genetic predisposition for cholesterol. Sometimes, unfortunately, diet helps, but it's very difficult sometimes to control it with diet alone. I worked sort of in a cholesterol clinic once, and the idea is, if somebody if they measure your blood levels and it is high, you try to do a 3-month lifestyle change, because within the 3 months, you would be able to see if your cholesterol levels can be influenced by diet. Mm. But then unfortunately for some people, it is not that easy. Their cholesterol level is still high, and that's obviously maybe because of the natural production of cholesterol in the body. And that's a difficult patient to handle. So you do get people that is super skinny, eat super clean, and unfortunately they still have high cholesterol. They are out there, and that is a difficult patient to, unfortunately for them, diet alone is not enough.
Is not going to do it. And tell me why, as you say, you know, it's almost becomes a medical thing as opposed to a nutritional or dietary thing. But is that cholesterol a good or a bad cholesterol that your body is producing, or is it a bit of both?
That's a difficult question. I think it's a bit of both, but the problem is if your values are high and you changed your eating habits, obviously it becomes a life-threatening situation. So because obviously that platelet aggregation will be there. And if you are overweight and you've got a higher blood pressure is very important. So if you've got a high cholesterol, very, very important to make sure that you get your blood, that you get your blood pressure under control. So therefore, it's really a big thing, because it's weight, it's blood pressure, it's the food that you consume. Everything plays a role in a very small way to eventually assist that patient to create longevity. If I have to put it like that.
So basically, in a nutshell, you have two types of cholesterol situations or conditions, and the one is that your body is kind of just gone truant and it's doing its own thing, and that you need essentially a healthy lifestyle, but with the assistance of your medical practitioner and the right medications. And then you've got the other one where you are just careless and you're eating too many of the M foods and the K foods and, you know, the fried chickens and the like.
So it's lifestyle induced high cholesterol levels versus really hereditary cholesterol. It's two different scenarios, and we need two different ways of tackling them and assisting those people. Obviously, lifestyle induced cholesterol is way easier to handle than the other side.
And I would also imagine that if it is a hereditary condition, that even still maintaining a good lifestyle will go a long way to assist. While maybe not completely eradicating the problem, it would go a long way to assisting it.
Yes, you definitely. It's very important for those people to really be pedantic about what they do, what they eat, and what they consume. Just to assist whatever medication or treatment they have to make everything effective.
Right. Wow, very complicated topic, and my apologies if I asked some tough questions. But it's one that, you know, comes up quite often, and you know, you hear adverts on TV for poly this and poly that and poly the next thing. And you just kind of wonder now, you know, are they just trying to sell margarines, or is there something in what they're mentioning?
On that point, I didn't even touch polyunsaturated fatty acids. Polyunsaturated fatty acids, not bad, because it's not saturated. So we need a little bit of that, which we call omega-6. But then the flip side of the other part of that is omega-3. So omega-3, very, very beneficial, because it's anti-inflammatory. So you can increase your, obviously we are not fortunate enough maybe to have a lot of fatty fishes. Yes, we've got maybe pilchards and mackerel, salmon. For us, it's quite an expensive exercise. But then other ways of increasing omega-3, because that will decrease the inflammatory process. So if you think about arteriosclerosis, which is the plaque forming on the inside of the artery wall, that's sort of the inflammatory process. So if we then assist the body by small amounts of polyunsaturated, the majority of monounsaturated. So the thing is, fat is not the enemy, but you have to make sure that you consume the right ones in the right way, because each of them has got a function. So a small amount of polyunsaturated, a higher amount of monounsaturated, as little as possible trans fat and saturated fat, that's where you want to be. Yeah. So, and then also with the margarines, they also supplement them obviously with vitamin D. And some of them has got plant sterols that is very effective in cholesterol lowering. There's one particular margarine, which is a plant sterol, and they, if you consume 4 teaspoons, the science shows that it can reduce your cholesterol levels by 25%. So that's the ability of the plant sterol that some of these margarines use, or that they supplement it, fortify is really the word, or supplement with these phytosterols, and then that enables, it's quite a beneficial effect on cholesterol. Yes.
So, it's all about what you eat at the end of the day, and I think that's sort of the easiest way of summing it up. And you know,
definitely,
if you garbage in, garbage out.
Yes.
So you know, watch what you eat, and you know, also those fats. You know, I can I know I'm probably simplifying it now, but you know, you were mentioning about fats that are liquid or solid at room temperature.
Yes.
And you know, when you cook something on the stove, maybe a, let's say, a piece of meat or something, and you take the meat out, and what's left in the pan gets left to cool, and suddenly it's this this like sort of greasy layer of something. Now I kind of imagine this ending up in your, in the inside of your arteries. Technically, in a very simplistic way, that is what happens.
That is probably what happens, because even for, you know, we sort of teach people that solid hard thing is really, because when you cook you can't see, but the minute you cool it down, it gets solid. So that's the evidence that that's the saturated fat. It won't happen with anything else. And also, how do you know what's saturated, what's not? A good example really is coconut oil. Coconut oil and olive oil and canola oil, for instance. Let's leave sunflower oil out of this mix. But coconut oil on the shelf in the shop is solid. Olive oil on the shelf is liquid.
Okay.
One is saturated, one is monounsaturated. So the same with the white fat from meat. When you cook it, you remove it, it cools down, you see solid. Even if people make a fatty stew and you want to remove some of that fat, put your stew in the fridge. All the fat will come to the top, it will solidify, and you